We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hey there, we at Blue Wire wanted to thank you for your continued support of this podcast. With over 90 podcasts across our network, we are committed to bringing you great content to fill that sports-shaped hole in your heart. To find more Blue Wire pods, search for us on iTunes or check out BlueWirePods.com. And remember, one day sports will return and it will be glorious. Thanks for listening. On to the show.
What's up, Dynasty Command Center Nation? It's been a little bit of a hiatus, but we are back. This is our big 50th anniversary episode. Hard to believe it's flown by just about 1 year of this pod. Travis and I cutting up all of the biggest and best topics in Dynasty. This is now our second rookie class that we're going to be cutting up with you, and really just can't wait to get into it. Before we start talking about what a rookie draft looks like in the post-NFL draft world, I want to remind you, go to rotoviz.com and click on 2020 Rookie Guide. Version 3, Volume 3 is out and available for purchase now. This has rankings that are adjusted for single QB, kind of a traditional league. We've got Superflex and tight end premium formats. We ranked 60 deep. You're going to be able to see the composite rankings of myself and Travis, along with Sean Siegel, TJ Calkins, and Blair Andrews, RotoViz, Dynasty Brain Trust, bringing it for you in every format. And then we also did three separate mock draft exercises in each of those formats. And then Travis even gave you IDP rankings. So you degenerates that are listening to the show, I know you're out there, that want to know who to draft at edge or who to draft in the secondary, we've got it there in the guide for you. So without further ado, Travis, it's been a couple weeks since we've been able to talk.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be worth the wait. Really can't wait to talk about this rookie class. Take us through what the first round of the RotoViz Dynasty Command Center Rookie Guide Superflex Rookie Mock looked like.
Yeah, so that was a lot of fun putting those mocks together. We just had a Zoom call hopped on. It was me, TJ, Curtis, Sean, and Blair just kind of going through, just picking our favorite players. And so the first round kicked it off, and TJ actually selected Tua Tagovailoa actually over Joe Burrow, which to some listeners that might sound like a crazy surprise. But Curtis actually surprised us again and took his favorite, my favorite, running back in Jonathan Taylor, which, again, super flex, leaving Joe Burrow on the board. And then again, Sean, left Joe Burrow on the board to drop him all the way down to four. He actually took Clyde Edwards-Helaire at the three spot, and Joe Burrow went off at four. And then I took Cam Akers in the five slot. And that was the first kind of run through the five of us in the first round of our Superflex mock draft, which was a lot of fun. I was surprised that Burrow, I was like sitting there at five. I was like, man, am I going to get Burrow at five in a Superflex mock? And I actually have heard of real results where Burrow did drop that far, but that is the farthest I've heard him drop. And most of the time, I feel like in real leagues, he's going to be the number one overall pick. How do you feel about that value?
Yeah, I mean, in Superflex, it's a four-man top tier, which is great. And I think, depending on what you think of Tua, for some people it might be a three-man top tier. You know, there are people who think he maybe is going to be a better NFL quarterback than fantasy quarterback. And I think there's merit to that argument, but certainly, I think the big shock in the first tier was that TJ took Tua at the 101.
Yeah.
But you know, TJ, he definitely feels that, you know, if the injury didn't happen, Tua is basically a generational or at least a once in a decade type quarterback prospect.
Yep.
And so he's sticking to his guns off of the healthy medicals, the great medical reports that have come back on Tua in the past month or so. And so, you know, I think if you're thinking about, you know, hey, where do I go in a super flex rookie draft to find the value? It's straight into the bottom of that first tier if you're looking for an elite player. So 103, 104, those are trade up spots. If you're in the 101, 102,
yep,
and you don't have a specific romance for one of the prospects, trading back to that three or four spot, probably a nice value play for you.
Yeah, but
I don't know what order it's going to be in your draft, but the top four probably are going to be Jonathan Taylor, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Joe Burrow, and Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I felt like, well, I guess I'll take the next best player off my board. And so I actually went with Cam Akers, who I do actually have as my running back three right now. I mean, really, the running backs are pretty tightly held together for me in my rankings. I mean, below that, I had J.K. Dobbins. And actually, I was able to get my guys that I had ranked back-to-back in my rankings in the first round because after the first five picks, you know, I took Cam Akers at the fifth slot. Then went Jalen Reagor. TJ picked him. Justin Herbert was your pick, Curtis. Then CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, J.K. Dobbins to me at 10, Justin Jefferson, and DeAndre Swift wrapped up the first round of the Superflex mock, which that seems pretty chalk. I mean, if you look at the wide receivers that were first-round picks, I mean, there are some people. Henry Ruggs actually dropped into round two, and so there were some people that are not super high on Ruggs. I mean, you and I are part of that cohort, but were there any other surprises to you in round one?
Yeah, I think Dobbins dropping to 10 after I passed on him at 107 was a surprise. You know, part of the point of the exercise is not just to draft according to our own boards, but it's also to show people, you know, what could happen in their rookie draft, because they aren't all just chalk, and ADP doesn't manifest itself in every draft.
No.
I mean, ADP is the average.
Yep.
I mean, that's what it is. It's the average. And so I think it's certainly range of possible outcomes that a quality player like Dobbins, or in other cases, I think probably what's more likely to happen is Akers would be the guy that would drop there just based off a community feel. But I think you could get a quality running back at the end of the first round. And that's why the Superflex format is, I mean, it's been growing for the past couple of years, and yeah, I really think it's starting to overtake, you know, the dynasty community as a preferred format. I mean, there's so much value in the first round. I mean, DeAndre Swift dropping. I got DeAndre Swift at 112.
Yeah,
and I was jumping for joy. It's just a mock draft, and I'm jumping for joy. And so this is just a great year, an absolutely smash year to own first round picks and super flex. The quality really maintains itself even through the middle of the second round. And so I would say be prepared for anything and everything in the first round. And if you know who your targets are, you know, other than understanding where the tiers are, I wouldn't get too cute. So I mentioned that the top tier for us in the guide is four deep. The second tier lasts the rest of the entire round. And so I think from 5 to 12, literally anyone could go off the board. And so, you know, I personally wouldn't get cute trading back from 5 to 10 or 11 if it's going to break your heart. Depending on who's available. So I'm going to bridge it into round two here, Travis, and kick it to you for some analysis. So the wide receiver run really goes deep in the second round. It's because, you know, we see three quarterbacks rise up the board due to the format in the first round. And round two starts off with eight consecutive wide receivers. So Brandon Ayuk goes to Sean. Sean is really hot and heavy on Brandon Ayuk. Moved him up to six overall on his board after the NFL draft. Loved the spot in San Francisco. Henry Ruggs goes at the 202 to Blair. Travis takes a player who I think is a very much a value play after landing in Cincinnati. If AJ Green was already gone, T. Higgins is probably a tier one prospect in rookie drafts. But because people are a little worried about year one and what does that look like, you know, I think the value is deflated just a little bit. But he landed in a true potential alpha spot.
Oh yeah.
TJ takes KJ Hamler.
Yeah,
a little earlier than I think ADP
absolutely
is typically going to be, especially for super flex. But TJ is in love with KJ Hamler. And then I think this is really what demonstrates the value in Superflex. That 205, 206, we see Michael Pittman and Laviska Shenault go back to back. These are two players who are probably, you know, the wide receiver two and their offenses is in year one. Both of them have some really desirable comps in the RotoViz prospect box score scout, especially Pittman. Pittman getting draft capital really vaulted him into some elite company. And we're talking about in his top 10 comps, we see A.J. Brown, Deebo Samuel, Michael Thomas, DeAndre Hopkins, and Juju Smith-Schuster. That's half of his top 10 sims now after getting draft capital in the top 40. So I absolutely love Michael Pittman, and he's a target. He's a trade-up target for me in every format in rookie drafts now. Denzel Mims and Bryan Edwards end the wide receiver run. So, Travis, just out of those eight receivers, who would you be targeting, maybe willing to trade up for in the second round if you see him slipping a little bit?
So Blair Andrews actually got Denzel Mims in the seventh slot of round two. So pick 19 overall. I think once I saw, you know, like KJ Hamler go with the 2.04, and I'm looking at a wide receiver set that still is posting, you know, Michael Pittman, Laviska Shenault, and Denzel Mims, all three players that are at that pick or above in terms of my value and my valuation, my rankings for this format. So I would be moving up. I would be trying to get one of those three picks to get one of my guys. I actually have Mims over both of these guys. Mims actually has some pretty fun comps as well. But, I mean, he's a player that has a more complete and more consistent production profile, even from his second season. Laviska Shenault obviously had kind of a down 2019, some health questions. Pittman, I mean, a lot of people that don't like Pittman, they look at his kind of disjointed production profile and they think, well, why did that happen? He had like two catches as a true freshman. Well, he was surrounded by a bunch of other incredible future NFL players and some guys that made him NFL rosters. Yeah, he struggled to stay healthy, but when he finally was healthy, he was an alpha with, you know, three other future NFL wide receivers on his team in Tyler Vaughns, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Drake London this past year for USC. So I really love all three of those wide receivers, and I'm really not surprised that Bryan Edwards dropped to me at the eighth slot. And I almost took a different player here, but I decided to go with Bryan Edwards because of his 17-year-old breakout age in the eighth slot there, and just really felt like that was a solid value at pick 20 in a super flex format. But rounding out the end of that round, round two, we did see our first tight end go off the board. TJ really likes Adam Trautman. Because of, you know, he's now with the Saints. I believe the Saints actually traded all of their day three picks to go get Adam Trautman. And then they ended up trading, I think, back into the end of round seven, I think, to grab like Tommy Stevens from Mississippi State. But weird draft for them in that way. But Adam Trautman definitely looks like he's a solid tight end, potentially the tight end one in this class. Getting him at the 2.09, having the first tight end of year 2.09. It's kind of a weird class, but Keyshawn Vaughn was your pick at the 2.10. Then Zach Moss and Joshua Kelly wrapped up round two. So any surprises there? Were you surprised that it wasn't a different tight end that went first here in this draft?
Yeah, I mean, I think the chalk tight end one off the board is going to be Cole Kmet after he got draft capital and landed in Chicago. You know, Coach Nagy has really wanted to try to find somebody to hold down that Travis Kelce role. and it just hasn't worked. I mean, he's tried Trey Burton. They drafted Adam Shaheen early, and he hasn't been able to stay healthy. You know, they've just been grasping at straws, really, with tight ends. So they bring in Jimmy Graham, and I don't think anybody thinks Jimmy Graham is a world beater. I mean, he's probably better than what he showed us last season. Really just a forgotten year for him. But I don't expect him to be able to hold off Cole Kmet, you know, for more than 1 year, certainly, and maybe not even for the entire year. The one thing Komet's going to have going against him is a shortened camp season this summer due to, you know, everything going on with coronavirus. So yeah. Maybe not a shocker that Troutman went above him, but I don't think that'll be the norm. I do expect Kmet to go off the board before him in probably 90% of drafts. I think what we see in Superflex here is that there's some running back value that really gets pushed down into the late second, early third, at least in our mock here. We see four running backs go off the board in a row and five in an 8-pick stretch. And it includes Keyshawn Vaughn, Zach Moss, Joshua Kelly, Antonio Gibson, AJ Dillon. And so I think out of that group, you know, we're probably going to get two guys that give us a couple RB2 seasons. You know, I don't know who they are going to be yet. You know, Keyshawn Vaughn has been a sharp riser after the draft because of the Tampa Bay landing spot. You know, I think the team spending early draft capital on him probably is not a good signal for Ronald Jones, but I also don't know that Keyshawn Vaughn's necessarily, you know, a better runner than Ronald Jones. He's definitely better catching the ball, which, you know, with Tom Brady, and I think that's what people are chasing there from a fantasy perspective. Zach Moss is going to be in an ugly timeshare with Devin Singletary, I think.
Yeah.
But at the end of the second, I mean, I think it's totally fair value.
Yeah.
Joshua Kelly going 212 to Blair. That's a pick that's really kind of growing on me, not even just in Superflex, but in all formats. Late second, early third, targeting Joshua Kelly. If the Chargers manage their backfield this year the way they did last year, you know, somebody's going to get a Melvin Gordon-sized role, which was super, super attractive for fantasy. Even though, you know, Eckler had the top five PPR season, Gordon was still very productive and useful for fantasy purposes as an RB2. And so I think Joshua Kelly or Justin Jackson is going to provide that production. And this is a very fair price to pay for it. But I really like, you know, out of those four backs that went in a row here, I like your pick at 301 of Antonio Gibson. You know, when the Redskins read his name and said running back Antonio Gibson, you know, that was huge. And then immediately after, we hear Ron Rivera talking about his skill set and the creative ways that they can use him and how accustomed he had gotten to using Christian McCaffrey to really do everything. I mean, I think he's got a vision for what he wants to do. A bell cow that can be used on the short routes, the Texas routes, those types of things would be extremely helpful to Dwayne Haskins.
And that's Antonio as he Gibson, develops. Man. He takes those
and,
to the house.
And I think them. Gibson truly could smash.
Oh, yeah.
Truly could smash. And I prefer to take Gibson later in the second than Keyshawn Vaughn earlier in the second, which I think he's probably going to go. So kudos to you on the 301 pick of Antonio Gibson there.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And really, I mean, even in some real drafts, I don't know how many of you listening have already started some of your rookie drafts. I had some of mine that were like, okay, day two's over, let's start the draft. And so it's just, you know, they're already three rounds in. I actually had one rookie draft already wrap up five rounds since I guess they started it Saturday evening. It is now, I don't even know what today is, but it's, you know, it wrapped it up in a few days pretty quickly. And one of my leagues, I actually did take Antonio Gibson at pick 2.09 in a 14-team league. So I got him at pick 23. And really with this crew, I may have been able to wait a couple more picks. A.J. Dillon went right after him. But I think Antonio Gibson, the sweet spot for him in Superflex and really in one quarterback leagues is just somewhere in the late second if you want to be safe. But he's dropping to the third just because when people take a look at his production profile, they're like, how is a player like that supposed to be a full-time player in the NFL? And they just don't understand the level of athlete and just elite, efficient monster that he can be. So I really can't wait to see what happens there. Listeners, before we shift away completely from Superflex, one name that didn't get called in the first two rounds that we had kind of talked about in earlier iterations of our rookie guide series and really on this podcast as a great value at quarterback was Jalen Hurts. In that same draft that I got Antonio Gibson at 2.09, I actually traded up to get Jalen Hurts at pick, I believe it was pick 31 overall, just because even if, you know, even if Carson Wentz is obviously the starter for a long time, there's a chance that Carson Wentz is hurt again at some point, and Jalen Hurts has a window to produce and have a sell high window. Even if, who knows what happens with the Eagles trading him or whatever is going to happen, whatever happens with Carson Wentz's contract post 2021, you're waiting a lot with Jalen Hurts. You're waiting a lot with Jordan Love, but I like Jalen Hurts as just an ultimate dual threat weapon if he ever does see the field. Are you still liking him, Curtis?
Okay, so this is where I'm going to take the podcast off the rails, and I'm going to talk about Jordan Love versus Jalen Hurts for a minute. So first observation I'll make, Jordan Love, I really don't think he's going to fall to the third round in your Superflex rookie draft. He did here because we have the information on what his sims are, even with getting the draft capital that he got. Yeah. Jordan Love's sims in the RotoViz Prospect Box Score Scout, I mean, they are atrocious.
That's being nice.
Cover your ears.
That's being nice.
Make, if you are listening to this in the car, it's earmuffs for the kids. Okay. If your wife's listening, you know, it's probably not appropriate for her to hear. These are the top 10 sims for Jordan Love, adjusted for draft position. Jimmy Clausen, Blaine Gabbert, Christian Hackenberg, Drew Locke, Christian Ponder, Teddy Bridgewater, Geno Smith, Matt Barkley, Josh Rosen, Garrett Grayson.
Oh.
So, I mean, this is an absolute, okay. So not only are these sims worse than I could have created if I just would have, if you would have told me create the ultimate fade quarterback sim profile using the Box Score Scout, I probably couldn't have grabbed these names out of a hat, you know, and created something so bad. I wouldn't even have imagined it. Then you add in that the team still has Aaron Rodgers under contract for, like, you know what, four more seasons, I think. I mean, Jordan Love's not going to see the field probably until year three.
Yeah,
at least. Unless this relationship just really goes sour. It's going to be very difficult for the team to deal with this contract situation and Rodgers. So you're going to invest an early Superflex pick in the second round on Jordan Love? No. That's why he falls to three in our exercise with the RotoViz team here. I think once he's in the third round, especially if you're playing in a deeper league, which most Superflex formats are, okay, look, you're rostering 30 guys. Okay, draft Jordan Love, let him rot on the bench for a couple years, because when he does get his first start, his value is going to spike. But no way should you be drafting him in the second, given the quality of the players that are going there. In contrast, Jalen Hurts did not get the landing spot that we wanted, but he absolutely got the draft capital that we wanted. The worry was that he wouldn't even be day two. I've been telling people for months that I thought he was going to go round one. He didn't quite go round one, okay? We missed out slightly on that, but he goes very healthily in round two to the Philadelphia Eagles, who have struggled to make it through a season with their QB1, notoriously. I mean, Nick Foles and his Super Bowl ring as a starter will tell you that. And even after falling the second round here, Jalen Hurts' top four comps, all very, very fantasy viable at some point in Superflex. So Andy Dalton, Dak Prescott, Tyrod Taylor, Robert Griffin III. Okay, and so, you know, when Jalen Hurts starts, I think we could see a Robert Griffin III type deployment where he's running plenty, passing enough, and absolutely is a super flex weapon. And I don't think that we're going to have to wait to see him the way that we're going to have to wait to see Jordan Love. I mean, the Eagles have already started talking about packages. They said that they've studied, they've done a ton of studying on Lamar Jackson and how he was used early on. And I think that you're going to see packages developed specifically for Jalen Hurts in year one as a passer, not just as an offensive weapon.
Yeah.
And so if he falls around three, it is just on lock. If it's 301, I'm still taking him. I mean, I love Travis's pick of Gibson there. Jalen Hurts is going to be a fantasy difference maker at some point at quarterback. So in Superflex, he's an extreme target in the third round. I'm not going to read through, you know, the last 15 to 18 picks here, but I am going to call out the quarterbacks. That's why we care about the Superflex format here. Jacob Eason went 312. You know, I think Jacob Eason is very much in the same situation as Jordan Love, that he's not, we know he's not going to play year one.
He could play in year two,
but I think they're basically similar assets. They're really similar assets at this point. He's basically an arbitrage Jordan Love in terms of, and in some ways in terms of skill set, and in other ways in terms of situation. So you can take him cheaper if you're willing to sit on a guy. And then in round four, Jake Fromm's the only other QB that went in this exercise. You know, he goes to Buffalo. And this is really interesting, Travis, and you watched a lot of him in college. I want to hear you talk about the fantasy viability. But when I just think about Buffalo and where they're going as an organization, okay, I think this is a make or break year for Josh Allen. They've really invested a lot around him. They went out and got Stephon Diggs. You know, they invested heavily in wide receiver and tight end last year. They got another offensive weapon in Zach Moss in this draft. They really have gone out of their way to make sure he has some weapons at his disposal. And but we know, you know, he's not accurate. He's erratic. He makes poor decisions. Well, they go out and draft Jake Fromm, who's basically the polar opposite of Josh Allen in every way.
Yeah, personality-wise, talent-wise, it's just a completely different player.
And the reason that that's interesting to me is typically, if you're committed to a certain offensive system, you try to find a similar type player to come in and run that system as your backup. I mean, we see it all over the league. And they drafted somebody completely opposite. So to me, this pick doesn't just feel like, okay, well, he's a safe backup then can come in and be a game manager. It also feels like a potential hedge, an organizational hedge on Josh Allen, where they're giving themselves, you know, an out to go a different direction if the experiment, you know, fails this year. So, I mean, what do you think about that? Could Fromm be a long-term starter in the right situation?
Possibly. I think that'll sound insane to the people who have Josh Allen on their rosters, and they're probably actually angry and maybe yelling at you right now while they're listening. but yeah, I think so. Jake Fromm's not a throw a 60-yard bomb type quarterback. He's a quick throw, quick read type passer that can chuck it deep in a spot when he needs to. He's not going to miss a wide receiver by 7 yards over the middle, 7 yards downfield either, like Josh Allen does every other pass attempt. But he definitely makes some good decisions. He had decent adjusted yards per attempt numbers. It was just kind of an interesting pick still, nonetheless, because Jake Fromm is just so polar opposite for sure. But I guess, what are some other dart throws here that we can kind of cover in the Superflex format?
Okay, so before we get into some dart throws, I mean, we got to mention the sponsors here, Travis.
Absolutely.
We got to mention the sponsors. I mean, they're so good to us. Bet
we're just
online.
On a roll.
we're on a roll. Bet online, okay, guys. So there's no NBA, there's no NHL, there's no Major League Baseball. It doesn't mean there's nothing to bet on. Our exclusive partner for the podcast, Bet Online, they still have hundreds of events, games, and props to wager on. You know, they got an online casino. You got poker in there and blackjack. Basically bringing Vegas to you. If you're missing the NFL, no problem. I mean, this is wild to me, Travis, but people are betting on live daily Madden NFL 20 sims. They're doing simulated games. You can bet on them.
That's incredible.
This is great. This is truly for the degenerates. I mean, Bet Online clearly sees the void that, you know, we're sick of quarantine and they want to give us something to lay some coin on. You can also bet on Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol, stock prices, and even recently the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. They're open 24 hours a day. It's all online. Go to betonline.ag and use promo code BlueWire. That's promo code BlueWire. You can join today and receive a welcome bonus. That's BetOnline. It's your online wagering solution. Now, Travis, you know, when you're in a super flex draft and you're going four rounds deep, you know, you got to last a long time. Okay. So, you know, the other thing I want to mention to our listeners is Blue Chew. So, guys, if you want to last longer, it doesn't matter if you're talking a rookie draft or in this case, maybe in the bedroom, lasting a couple extra rounds. You got to get Blue Chew. Go to bluechew.com. It's the first ever chewable that brings your performance in the bedroom to another level. They've got the same active ingredients that are in Viagra and Cialis. So, I mean, you know they're going to work. These obviously have been tested, very reputable products. Since they're chewable, they work faster. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. Plus, you don't even need to go to the doctor's office or spend time waiting in the pharmacy line. Blue Chew has an online physician. It's free of cost. And once you're approved, your order is going to ship straight to your door in discreet packaging. So here's a great deal for you guys. Visit BlueChew.com. Get your first order free when you use promo code BLUEWIRE. Again, that's promo code BLUEWIRE. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com and a promo code BLUEWIRE. I mean, why would you wait? Just do it today. Okay, so Travis, we're going to talk favorite round three and round four darts at the end of a Superflex rookie mock. I'm going to let you go first. I want one in each round. Who's the guy that you're praying gets to you in round three, and who's the guy that's you want in round four?
So I think, I mean, we've kind of already covered one of the guys I pray just somehow gets to round three, and that's Antonio Gibson. I think he's still doing that in some spots. But I think if you get outside of that and you get to some players that are kind of, you know, maybe your team's pretty good and you're in the late part of round three, I think you know, you're at that point, you're probably out of day one, day two options. And so I'm okay at that point giving a look to Antonio Gandy Golden, who was drafted by the Redskins in round four. Obviously, they have Terry McLaurin there. He looks to be the alpha on the offense that's going to get most of the targets. But besides that, they don't have very many proven options. I mean, last year they were resorting to, you know, targeting one longtime favorite Debbie darling of ours, Kelvin Harmon. Many people liked him as a prospect. They were targeting him some. They were targeting Steven Sims some of Kansas. You know, he came out of nowhere and was actually productive for 4 weeks. But realistically, Antonio Gandy Golden, player who has three back-to-back-to-back 1,000-yard, 10-touchdown seasons for Liberty, is just an impressive playmaker, a decent athlete, not crazy vertical speed, but that's what McLaurin does. AGG can really move the chains and really separate via route running, so I'm excited to see what he does. And so round three, AGG is the pick for me. And then once you get into round four, you're really, really kind of just stretching and trying to get anything here. If it's not tight end premium, I am looking to get Albert Okwuegbunam because I think because of the landing spot, it looks like at first glance he's behind Noah Fant in the pecking order. They just drafted Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler. They already have Courtland Sutton. It looks like Albert O is dead to the world, but he runs a 4.5 at 260 pounds. I think it's 258, but I'm rounding up just to make a point. And he's a touchdown scoring machine. He's already caught. In his career, he's already caught 17 touchdowns from Drew Locke, and he hasn't even played it down in the NFL because when they were teammates at Missouri, they absolutely killed it once they got in close. A lot of it was scheming him open on play action over the middle, but he can separate in route running as well. So that's my target in round four. What about you, Curtis?
Just to piggyback on Albert O there, you know, I read a really interesting post-draft article where John Elway actually admitted that they called Drew Locke shortly before they went on the clock to make sure he was okay with this pick. And they blame his senior year performance and kind of lack of interest, something that, you know, drove him down the board. They actually are blaming that as an organization on the quarterback change. And they said that the majority of their evaluation is based off of what he did, you know, in the two years prior. So I think that's really interesting. So they probably feel like, you know, and if he had come out a year earlier, you know, there's no way he would have lasted this long. You know, it's just that this last year really put some question marks in his evaluation. And so they probably feel like they got an extreme value.
Huge.
And I really, I mentioned this, in a DM, you know, with a couple reputable fantasy guys. I don't think it's that absurd that Albert Okwuegbunam overtakes Noah Fant. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not even saying it's likely to happen, but there's definitely a non-zero chance just because the familiarity piece there. And we saw this, I mean, just last year, Dwayne Haskins, you know, he had instant chemistry with Terry McLaurin, and it's, you know, really the only thing that worked for Dwayne Haskins in that rookie season. And so there's definitely something to this. And you're telling me once plays go off script, that he's not going to be looking for the guy that the chemistry is already there with. So yeah. I think that's really sneaky, Travis, especially in non-tight end premium.
Yeah.
Because clearly he's not going to last that long in that format. But, you know, my dart throws for round three and round four, you know, just kind of looking at this, I think, I mean, honestly, in round three, the top of round three is almost like a value spot to trade up to. Because, you know, we see the top six picks there, Gibson, Claypool, Kmet, Dylan, Love, Hurts. You know, those are all people that are, you know, you could consider viable to some degree. But just looking at how the board weighs, I think Darrington Evans is probably like the latest running back typically that I'm going to be excited about for a year two starter potential, depending on how the team handles Derrick Henry in Tennessee. So I think that's, you know, really sneaky. And I think Anthony McFarland in round four in this exercise also for the same reasons. You know, I think the Steelers could easily move on from James Conner. Or Connor gets injured and McFarland actually gets opportunity in year one. So those are two running backs that I think you can get later in these drafts. The last running back I'll mention at the very end of round four, Travis actually took him in this exercise, did not let him fall to the 411, but it's LaMichael Perine. You know, again, it's kind of that same situation, looking for the older injury-prone running back. You know, he's going to be backing up Le'Veon Bell in New York. So there's some late round dart throws for your rookie drafts. You know, the clear takeaways, and you can go back and listen to this episode and try to find some of them. But, you know, round one, the first tier is four deep. The rest of the round is really its own tier. Immense value in the second round of super flex rookie drafts. If you wanted to spend some of next year's capital, like you want to trade a future two plus a future three to get a top half of the second round pick this year, if you can find that type of deal or something similar, I'm all about it. I think you're going to find tons of value in the top half of round two. And then, you know, Jalen Hurts and Antonio Gibson are probably, you know, the sky is the ceiling type players in round three. So, hey, thanks for tuning in. We're going to do this same exact format for one QB PPR rookie drafts and also for tight end premium. So we want to keep these a little shorter and digestible. So, you know, you can listen to them right before your rookie draft. You know, this spring. So thanks for tuning in. Travis, take it away.
Yeah, thanks again for joining us. And definitely be on the lookout for some more breakdowns of different formats, 1QB and tight end premium. And we'll also get to some, you know, position specific episodes, so we can really break down these position by position and how they kind of rank and stack up, where the tier breaks are and things like that. But until next time, you guys, thanks for joining us on this Dynasty Command Center podcast, but keep living that Dynasty life.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.